Welcome to Sunday Service with Dr. Paula Price. Take a seat, open up your Bible, and prepare to enjoy an evening of praise, worship, revelation, and insight as Dr. Price releases pearls of wisdom from the throne of God.
It's time for us to hear God, and it's time for us to obey God, and it's time for us as saints to grow up and stop being the little kids in the back room. God wants us to be adult children in this era. And unless you have adult children, you have no idea the frustration it is to have an adult child act like they're 10. That is the most frustrating and irritating thing. You're trying to talk to them in a world they must accommodate, and they want to go back to a world that they didn't do well in last time. So I want you to understand, this is grow-up time, saints of the Most High God. Grow-up time. Grow-up time. Say it, grow-up time for me right now. Now remember I said it, because you know me and God float like that, so I'm ahead of the curve always with the Holy Ghost. That's what prophecy is supposed to be, ahead. That's why it's prophecy. But understand, it's grow-up time. The window of church maturity is closing. And there's not going to be all this playroom that we're accustomed to. God is issuing new orders, new instruction, new commands, new directions. He is not interested in our excuses. You know, all of those that we've used for years and years and years, well, that's not going to work. God's like, are you kidding? I'm on a kingdom clock. We've come off of the passive church clock. We're on the kingdom clock. It's like being on the world clock or the atomic clock right now in the kingdom. You don't have any wiggle room. Every moment is going to count. And you're going to see, because God has a schedule of events that are rushing in on the planet. Oh, somebody get this. That he can't miss. Whenever God does a move, it's not about what happens to us now. It's about what he must get done and have established because of what he set up. And so God has some setups in the spirit that are coming on down on the body of Christ, coming down on the world, and we're going to see him ruling and reigning as the King of Glory. Time, as we know it, will be no more. This is a new time check, and I'm giving you a time check today by the Spirit of God. This is a new time check. And all of the things that you have and all of your beloved and cherished pet this and that, they're going to be stretched. You're going to find yourself constantly rearranging and rearranging and rearranging because God needs you. He needs the Christ in you. He needs your witness. He needs your testimony. He needs the knowledge you have. He needs the love that you have for him. He needs your years of commitment to him, because it's time for him to call in the masses. See, the masses must come home. See, there are a lot of people who are crying in their sleep at night saying, God, it's got to be more than this. This cannot be the A and Z of it. There has to be more to God. There has to be more to life. And you can see world power and world achievement are not on their own enough to give you a soul of success. And God wants you to hear today that it's grow-up time. It's not about you getting your stuff. Stuff comes when you do wisdom. The more wisdom you have, the more stuff will come. Hallelujah. And so you have to recognize that stuff comes. And because stuff comes with wisdom, you need to be prepared to handle it. You need to be prepared to handle the growth, handle the opportunity, to handle the increase. Some of you crying for marriage and not prepared to be a spouse. You just don't want to sleep alone. You want Mr. Right and you Miss Wrong. Hallelujah. You want Miss Holy and you are defiled. See, you're not really playing to win. Your wants are deceiving you and making you think that your wants say you're ready and prepared. But you have to be prepared. We're going to have such an awash of God in this next dispensation. I mean, People are going to be stunned about God. We are going to be so exposed to his world, not just the spirit world, not just the supernatural, not just Satan's world. We're going to be exposed to the Almighty's world, the Most High world, the maker of all this stuff. He is going to expose his body, every one of us, I mean to the littlest baby, to him. And we're going to understand him, and it's going to surprise you because you got it in your mind that God is difficult to understand. He's unfathomable. You can't figure him out. But that is not what's happening in this particular move. There is an opening of the windows of heaven. There is a pouring out of the wisdom of God, of the witness of God. The Lord Jesus is taking back his kingdom. He's taking the reins, and he's not asking permission. He said, "Now I put up with you. Now you'll put up with me. Because I'm going to do God like your generation has never seen or known. Time as you know it will be no more. We will be in a different clock, in a different time zone, because the whole of creation is being altered to secure the souls of those who are to be the heirs of salvation. God is about to send his security force out of heaven. I'm securing my house, says the Holy Ghost. I'm securing my sheep, says God. I'm securing those that I filled with my spirit. He's sending them out. And I mean securing the people and those of you who have folk that you think live like sin and live like hell. Don't worry about it. He's securing the people that are in them. He said, I'm going to shepherd my flock. There is change, for sure. There is change. There is the changing of the guards and the winds of change. But know this. We will not know how to act as Christians in this new environment because we are just too programmed to be churchians. We will not know how to act as God's children, as his sons and daughters, as the people he is charging to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. You are about to be called to duty. And I don't want to hear about your kids. I don't want to hear about your wives, your husbands, your aunts, your uncles, your nephews, your dogs, or your parakeets. Don't want to hear that. See, the bird can't even get you off the hook. I don't want to hear about your jobs or anything. We are going to have a whole new pecking order as we make ourselves available to God's beck and calls. And if you don't understand, we're going to find out the meaning of the most dreaded word in the Christian faith, sovereignty. We're going to find out what sovereignty means to God. These are the hours that we've prayed for. See, we ask for solutions, and then we don't like how God has to ruffle our feathers to be them. We ask for solutions. We ask for God to help us make sense out of life, to bring sanity back, to save our friends and our relatives. Well, what did we think it was going to happen? How did we think that was going to happen? So change is on each and every one of us. It's on this house, and it's on you as the temple of the Holy Ghost. And grow up is going to happen so quickly that some people are going to go to sleep at night and wake up the next morning another person. You won't even get 5 hours sleep. You'll just doze off. And God's switching out hearts. And he's switching out souls to get what he wants. And I'm telling you, it's going to be glorious. I know we don't think so because we always are so afraid of God getting involved that we can't think that what he wants to happen is magnificent and that there's glory in it for us as well as him. But I say to you again, it's going to be glorious. You're going to love it. You're going to learn to love it. But most of all, you're going to surrender to it. We're going to meet Jesus Christ as King of Kings, as the God of glory, and we're going to appreciate it. You know, I spend so much time with God, it amazes me that people are so afraid of him because God is an amazing person. He's beyond anything you can imagine. He's more intelligent than you can think of, and yet he makes more sense than the most intelligent person in the world. He's very honorable. He says what he means, and he means what he says. But he says it so evenly, so meekly, that you think he doesn't mean it. For example, God doesn't have to shout like most prophets do. Thus says God, thou shalt be rich. God's like, I just made you rich. And you're like, huh? Still small voice. I just answered your prayer. I just changed your life. I just gave you a house. That's God. Not shouting. Because you know what? He realized noise doesn't perform. Okay? And so he's a very different person. He's very loving. God absolutely loves his family, loves his church, loves it. I mean, you're talking about somebody in love with his church. God loves his church. He loves his family. He loves the people of God. And he loves you. He loves your company. He has a great time. God loves to entertain, which is why they have praise and celebration around the clock. He loves to entertain. When he was on the planet, he loved to entertain. Loved hanging out. Loved to go out to dinner. Am I glad? He loves to sing. And he enjoys dancing. He loves praise. He likes conversation. Loves to debate. Gets a kick out of debating. See, you understand that that's why we all do these things? Because they are his loves. See that? So while you're afraid of God not letting you have your favorite piece of unhealthy candy or dessert, there's infinitely more to desire and to delight in about him. It's grow-up time, people. It's grow-up time. Great powers are being released in the planet. New authorities, new assignments, fresh dominion. That's happening in the planet. Fresh dominions. Old ones not working any longer. Fresh dominions. New things, new ways of doing life are coming down. This is a great opportunity for new stuff, for new ventures, because God is replenishing the economies of the planet. See, the last move is depleted. They're empty. What didn't bankrupt just ran out. And so, it's a great time for new ideas, new inventions, for new faces and new voices and new sounds. Understand, new is going to be the buzzword and the byword of the hour as things that God has had on the drawing board begin to take shape and begin to happen. New things, newness of life. New opportunities. How about new visions, new friends, new ventures? This is an opportunity that all of us will have. I don't care if you're very, very rich or you penny free poor. This is an opportunity to change your luck, your fortunes, your destiny, your life, your standing in life, your fortune. This is an opportunity. If some are going to come through new relationships. Some are going to come through accidental means. Some are going to come as a result of the calamities that are falling on the planet. How many of you know that a storm to a town can be a blessing to a demolition team? So you realize that not every event is a calamity to everybody. And while they feel bad that they got to scoop up your house and clean up, bottom line is it was an opportunity. They were asking God for some prayer for their business too. So recognize that we're about to have an equal opportunity explosion in the kingdom of God. Some of you all have ideas that have been on the back burner in the bottom drawer forever. Dust them off, clean them up, wash them off, refine them, update them, and do your homework. Some of you are you're like at the third bread at the gate. I'm ready to go. Yeah, go to school. Okay? Go to school. Get an education. Get some training. Take some courses for what you know God called you to do. Monies will be available for school like they haven't been for a while. Go to school and get trained. Take the extra classes. Some of you need partners. Start praying about partners. Jesus needed 12. He prayed all night for 12 partners. Now, he prayed all night for 12 partners, and he's God. And then on top of it all, how about God gave him 12 of the most unlikely partners? This is like, you realize they can't do nothing, right? They don't know nothing, Father. Why you give me these guys? Look at them fighting all the time. I mean, how did I end up with these? But you want to pray to know the heart, not the skills. Skills can be loaned, but you can't buy a faithful heart. You cannot buy a loyal worker. I know, I got 5 of them. You cannot buy them. So you're going to be having partners. New alliances, pray. Pray that they have your heart and your soul. Everything else can be taught. Those of you with children, make sure you listen to them and put them on the track of their destiny. Know what that is. Get them ready to travel the course that God set out for them. Don't just let their friends and their school define them. Some of you are going to have to pull your children out of public schools. Put them into the better schools for them to achieve destiny and not get lost. Say, and not get lost. Somebody heard me. So it's time for change, but it's also time for preparation. You have this window of preparation where you can plan to do the things that God needs you to do. And plan it well. Plan it, test it, check it, plan it, test it, check it. I don't know what this means, but it's like a lot of demolitions about to happen around in this region. I don't know what that means, but hey, there's opportunity in that. I'm sure in the kingdom. I'm sure in the house of God. So we have great things on the horizon, folks, but you're going to have to pay the price and say again, God is worth it. God is worth it. He's worth you working long hours and hard days. He's worth it, because if you know the end of a blessing, you know, miracles come at the end of hardship. You know, we like to tell people, God, I need a miracle. What did you do for it? I'm waiting for a miracle. Well, what are you doing? Waiting? God's like, that's not how it goes. You don't stand around waiting. You work on what you want to happen and then let the miracle complete the task. You realize every miracle in the body had to be escorted into that life by work, right on down to dying. You had to work through famine to get somebody to bring you some food. Come on here. You had to work through sickness to get a healing. Somebody going to hear what I'm saying. See, work through. You know, Nehemiah had to work through the warfare and the battles to get somebody to help him build. The miracles don't come because you have a need. Well, miracles come because you're needed. Now, you know that was Jesus. See, because not everybody got a miracle, but the ones that God need gets one. So you have to show you're needed. Okay, well, I'll leave that. See, God needs something from those he gives miracles to. Because miracle, he does not have a miracle super center. But you got to be needed. You have to have something God must have. Dorcas was needed. She had done a lot of good works for the kingdom. And everybody around her said, but we need her alive. See, somebody needs to say, I need you alive. Because you're so touching my life. You're so changing my world. You're so bettering my existence. I need this person alive. Because God's needs are expressed through our existence. I Hallelujah. You got to be needed. God will take care of anything he needs. And you need to know what God needs. When you read your Bible, everybody that had a miracle had a need. A need that God agreed with. There are a lot of people that get put out every day, and then there are those that God needs where they are. And some people get put out because he needs them on Skid Row for them to get a message for what he wants to get done. Because they have a greater future when they get a little wisdom. A greater future. You have to recognize that in this season, if you want the miracles of God, you're going to have to prove that you're needed, that he can rely on what you have. Not the payout. You know, we like to give God the first and second installment on promises. When God delivers, all of a sudden, we kind of default. Saints do that. Be needed, people. Find out why he put you where you are. And then ask him what he needs of you there. That's adult, intelligent Christianity. Immature Christianity is about what they can get in their personal experience. Mature Christianity is about what God is using that entity to do, to accomplish for him. Your adult kids want to know how to keep the house and the family together. Your children want to have their way, no matter what it costs. See, your kids don't care that you can't buy them $300 sneakers because the light's going to go off. See, the kid just, now I want a $300 sneaker. That's all I know. My friends got them. I want them. Adults like, that's not a priority. And they can make a distinction between what's needed and what's desired. The wisdom of God is that you know how to deliver what's needed and what's desired in proper priority. Anybody hearing what I'm saying? Because this is important. I don't know why. This wasn't what I planned, but God's got something to say. And I'm going to say what the Holy Ghost wants to say this day. God, why won't you help me? God's answer to you is, why won't you help me? See, I need a little help too. See, I got a lot of people telling me no. I'm looking for people who will say, yes, Lord. Speak, Lord, thy servant hears. Yes, Lord, tell me what I'm to do. Here I am, Lord, send me. Use me, Lord. We like to sing, use me. We don't want to be used, but we love singing it. Use me till you use me up, Lord. God said, use you up. Can I use you? We haven't even gotten to up. Just can I use you? Can you be available? Accessible? How about this? Agreeable. Agreeable's good. Don't you think agreeable is nice? Agreeable's good. And I just hear God saying to you, yes, I have great visions. Yes, I have awesome, awesome plans. Yes, wonderful things that I want to do for you. But I need you to want to do some things for me. You know, God's the original quid pro quo. He's first one. If you, then I. Read the Bible. If you, then I. When you. There are people that God will bless because he can rely on them. Not only rely on him to do what he wants, but also to rely on him not to be stupid with what he does. See, there are people that God is raising up now because he needs them to be reliable for this next wave. So these little tests, which to you are little delays and setbacks, these are little confirmations that God is stacking for himself to ensure that when the big thing comes, you're there and you're ready and you're willing. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I said obedience is better than sacrifice. And to heed better than the fat of rams. So God wants to tell you in this season, yes, you're hearing me. Yes, I'm calling you. Yes, I'm answering your prayer. Yes, I'm getting you into this and I'm getting into that. But understand, this is going to be a two-way street. The era of the church just getting, like little kids do, you know, we're just going to hand out, hand out, hand out. That is not happening. Now we're coming into a dimension of responsibility to the Most High God, responsible for what he's losing, being responsible for what he's desiring, what he's trying to get done. You know, I taught when I was in California, I said, taught them this. Jesus has responsibilities and duties that he got from his Father. Can you say amen? How many of you all know Jesus got responsibilities? Say, Jesus got duties. It's okay, because we act like he is not doing anything. That he has nothing on his plate but to be Jesus. And we don't even know what that is. But to be Jesus means you are responsible for every single thing God brought into existence around the clock, generation after generation after generation after generation. Jesus can't die because he told somebody else that he's going to keep him alive. Now, I want you to understand, because God has some amazing plans for you, but he needs you to recognize Jesus has responsibility. He's got duties. He's got things he told the Father that he can rely on his Son for. And then he turns around and he says, okay, how am I going to get this done? And he looks down to earth and he sees you and me. He said, I'm going to get it done through them. So your ministry is Jesus' responsibility. Your ministry is Jesus' duty to his Father. See, you thought your ministry was your expression. See, it was your time to shine. Your showboat moment. But God needs Jesus to succeed. And Jesus needs you to succeed. Now, he's going to succeed. But whether he does it in your lifetime determines, it depends on you. See, he's not going to fail because he can't die, he can't get old, can't get sick. Done that. Y'all flowing with me? So he wants you to hear him. I have needs too. And I need you to obey and to perform and to fulfill. I need you to grow up. I need you to hear me. I need you to want to listen to what I'm saying. I need you to understand my side of this thing. I've got a side. Your days are 70 by reason of strength. You might get, 90 years if you're really happy. But understand this. I have responsibilities that outlive your lifetime. I need you to leave some things in the planet that I can use after you're gone. Oh, somebody's going to get that. That's why I made you creative. That's why I gave you innovations. That's why I made you smart. That's why I sent you to school. That's why I gave you that job, put you in that place, gave you those skills. Because I need you to leave something in the planet that I can count on and use when you're gone. And I need you to get used to doing that by leaving something useful to me behind everywhere you've been. Anybody hear that? See, you have been in God for what you can get, not for what you can give. Can I get healed? Can I get a family? Can I get a job? Can I get a business? Can I get a getter? So you're in the getter mode. God, can I get her? And God said, but can I get a little help? Can I get a partner, a co-laborer? Can I get laborers in my vineyards? Can I get people saved? Can I get people delivered? Can I get people churched? Can I get people healed? Can I get people to know me? Can I get people to work for me? Can I get people to sow for me? Can I get people to reap for me? Can I get? Because I'm in a ghetto mode now. Can I get something from you? See, apostleship churches are about the duty and responsibility to the Lord. Your pastoral churches are about God's duty and responsibility to you. There's nothing wrong with either one, but the greater ones are the ones that have to keep the kingdom going. And not everybody is called to keep the kingdom going because they don't know where it's going to go. Half of them don't know the kingdom is going. Can we not? Is it going? Is it going anywhere? Seen the same me for 20 years. I need things. in this generation, says God. I need builders and planters. I need sowers and reapers. I need healers. I need preachers. I need businesses and entrepreneurs. I need financiers. I need backers and pullers. I need you to let me use what I hid in you before the foundation of the world. There are some things in you that have never been tapped into because you've not committed to being used of God. And God wastes nothing. So a lot of the answers to prayers are not happening because God can't get them. But if you decide to get on the Lord's team and to be a part of this next new thing he's doing, I promise you that your life will be blessed. You'll never know a day of lack, and that your generations of children will be blessed. Hey, what a funny thing about God. Y'all ever meet the bad kids in the church who become the bad adults? Do you know, and you'll be like, God, get them. God said, I can't because their father did so-and-so for me. Because their mother made thus and so happen. Because the grandmother did so-and-so. So I'll put up with that nonsense until that runs out. Now, when that runs out, God said, I'm going to get them. See, a lot of you all have seeds and harvest that your family, your mothers, your fathers, your great-grandparents, and your foreparents already sowed that God wants to pay back. But you got to get in position for him to do it. See, he wants to pay back your grandmother who prayed all night long for him to build that church. See, he wants to pay back your grandfather who traveled, leaving everything behind, spreading the gospel, preaching and helping and healing folk. See, he wants to pay back the woman that fed the poor. God wants to pay back those people, and you are their descendants. Does this speak to anybody? Some of you all have a great legacy. You're poor because you're out of place. You're not in a place to understand. That's why you need to be in prophetic and apostolic churches. You need to be in places where people could say, because of what your grandmother did, God's going to answer you. Because of what your great-grandfather did. Because of what your nationality did. There are a lot of people who founded America, never thought a dream happen. But you are their descendants. Some of you all are the descendants of those people that landed on Ellis Island and them that came over on the Mayflower and us who was brung over. We were brung over. We got free passage, baby. Some of you all have folks who have done amazing things that nobody remembers but the Lord. But God pays his debts. I said, God pays his debts. Oh, it's going to be good for some of you because you're going to start praying differently. Because some of you have that great-grandmother, that great-grandfather, that great-great that died, never saw the dream happen. But God said, don't worry about it. You realize Jesus got here because David obeyed. David got on the throne, hallelujah, because Moses obeyed. Moses pulled Israel out of Egypt because Abraham obeyed. Abraham obeyed because Noah obeyed. Somebody's going to hear me. So when you obey the Lord, you don't just do it for yourself. You do it for your generations. You do it for the kids that you'll yet have, those that will yet come in your family. Some people looks like life is easy. Life is easy because it was hard for that foreparent to make it happen for God. Some of you have a calling that goes way, way back to an uncle who obeyed God no matter what. And before they left here, they said, Lord, let not my labor be in vain. And you're sitting here mad with God, and God's trying to pay it up. Trying to pay it up. God's the original pay it forward. He's the original pay it forward. I'm trying to honor my word to aunt so-and-so. Uncle thus and what? Brother this, sister that. Grandma this and grandpa that. I'm trying to, but you won't work with me. And some of you all have an inheritance in store. You know when Paul talks about that, he wasn't just talking about the inheritance in store in heaven. He was talking about there's a storehouse here of an inheritance that your relatives laid up for you in trust with the Lord. But I don't feel like preaching, but that's the only way the inheritance is. Well, I don't feel like doing that. With I don't know what to tell you because the payout is there. The cash window is in the sermon. The cash window is in the ministry. Cash window is in business. See, you need to find out where your cash window is. Because your cash window may not be where you are. So God's like, so you can continue to do the $12 an hour, but understand, I have a far greater weight of glory for you who believe. And as long as Satan keeps you confused, his people can siphon off your inheritance. But some of you say, that could be me. Some of you have an inheritance in store that God is waiting to release, even as we speak. Some of you, you're letting anger and you're letting envy and jealousy and malice and all kinds of uncleanness rob you of what God has in mind. You are not at your cash window. And if it doesn't fall on you, it's going to land on your kids, kids. You realize that in the Bible, people did things right for God to put God on the hook for generations. They did it. And let me tell you, and you owe me. They will stand there and tell you, David, read those Psalms. I did so-and-so and so-and-so. Oh, no, you owe me because you said if I, and I did. Hallelujah. Remember the Gibeonites? The Gibeonites would not let what Saul did to their family go. They so frustrated God, they tied up all of the blessings of David's throne. He couldn't do a thing. They said, Lord, David had to go to God. Wait a minute, because David knows. See, when you're in the will of God and you know you're doing what the Lord wants you to do, God, I want you to understand, you got a covenant with God. You can press him. You can push him. See, we want to press and push God and give him nothing. But baby, when he's on the hook, you can push him. He said, when I'm on the hook, don't give me any rest until I establish it. But see, you don't have him on the hook. And so the Gibeonites are having a fit. They're having prayer vigils around the clock. They won't let it die. Every generation still praying and praying. Finally, David wake up. He said, Lord, there's famine in the land. What is wrong? Because my covenant with you as king of Israel is that there'll be no famine. See, he had Deuteronomy 28 that was ruling his kingdom. And all of a sudden, over to 29. Hey, God, wait a minute. How we get over here to 29? See, he was in the blessings, and then he moved over into the curse. And God said, wait a minute, hold it. So David goes to God, and he said, it's Saul and his bloodthirsty house. He said, those people won't stop. He said, those Gibeonites will not stop, and I cannot release your blessings because I owe them. I owe their father because he did something good for me. And what I was going to pay him, I couldn't give him because he was killed mercilessly by Saul. So I got to pay this family back. God wants to pay some families back. He wants to pay some families' good deeds back. Some of your families, they deserve better than they got. Got kicked off jobs that they shouldn't get kicked off. So you can go and mess up because God's paying that family back. David said, well, Yahweh, what do I do? I don't know what to do. He said, go ask him what it will take to get them off my back. See, sometimes Sometimes your obedience will put God on the hook. You all want God to do something and you've not given him anything. This is a negotiation, people. Even grace and mercy is a negotiation, which is why he said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. You got to negotiate it. Ahab negotiated it. Now God says, go and ask them what they want. They say, listen, go kill them, hang their heads outside, we'll be all right. David is like, okay, went and killed them. Killed the remainder of Saul's folk, hung their heads outside, everybody happy. Then the blessings of the land began to flow again. Your blessings may be bound up for something that has nothing to do with you. If you're a family, if you are from a family, this is a scenario. If you were from a family whose patriarch or matriarch made a promise to another family, and you crossed paths with that other family, even though it was decades or even centuries back, you realize that you have to pay that. Now, God may not tell you why, but he'll make you do it. And you say, I don't know why. Why? Because we are part of heaven's business. We're part of heaven's economy. We're part of heaven's kingdom. Hallelujah. We're part of heaven's kingdom. And so there are things that you do that don't make sense. And you're like, how do I explain that? You don't. The just shall live by faith. There are things that you feel compelled to take care of in their latter days. You don't know why. Because somebody made a promise to someone else in that family. And you have that on your family's accounts. God just doesn't tell us everything because we'll ask him more whys than say yes. You know, like the little kid, why? But why? Why? Well, honey, because that's going to burn you. Why? Well, because it gets hot. Why? Well, why is it? Because it's made of fire. Why? Kid, don't touch it. Go sit down. Just go sit down. How many of y'all say that to you? Go sit down. Stop. Because, you know, they get caught up in the why game. And that's what we do to God. He's like, just by faith, know that I'm asking you to do something that's wonderful for me. And sometimes I'm not going to tell you what your reward is because I need you to care enough about me to be there for me the way you want me to be there for you, because that's an adult kid. See? Adult kid. Be there for your parents. Be there for the people you say you love. Be there for the Lord. As we go forward in this year, we're going to see God coming in. Honey, and he's going to lay down his notes. He said, I need you to handle this. I got to retire some vows and some promises that I got. So I need you to do your part. But Lord, it's not my responsibility. He said, if it's mine, it's yours. That's the community. And I don't know who you are in here today. And I would like to think that it's all of you. It's grow up time. Say it's grow up time. And it's time to stop being in God for what you can get. That's an unjust weight. I need you to also be in God for what you can give. So it's the give and the get. The give and the get. Not just the give and the take. The give and the get. Because God wants you to know that I'm looking for people that I can run with in this hour. I'm looking for people that I can count on. That I can wake up in the middle of the night and say, do this and do that. And trust me, I'll see to it that you have more than enough to do what I want and still take care of yourself, because that's how the kingdom works. Did any of you all get blessed?
Hi, this is Prophet Ashley. Luke 6 tells us to give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. Because you've been blessed by today's message, go to www.drpaulaprice.com and click on Sow a Seed. Thank you for attending today's Sunday sermon with Dr. Paula Price. Don't forget to participate in Dr. Price's live, weekly, interactive radio talk show right here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. Again, that is www.blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show.